Please, Lord, clear our mind so that we can hear you and understand these words. They're so powerful. I don't know that we can fully comprehend them, but please teach us on how powerful prayer is and how we should be confident in it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't forget the potluck next week. Right after service, just bring a dish to share and we'll have a wonderful time together, and also communion next week. How many here have had a restless or anxious day or night, a time of no peace in your heart this past week? Probably all could raise your hands, so not to embarrass you, we'll just not all raise our hands. Just think, how many of us have had a restless, anxious moment or time this past week? We've let the circumstances overcome us, maybe just for a while, and then we decided to pray and quote scripture and put it down. My desire, God's desire for this church is that each of us would have peace in our heart, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It surpasses all understanding, and there is a way to have it. Maybe you've given up and said, I'm just not going to rest. I'm just always going to be worried or anxious. No, God has a way. He's given us the blessing of prayer. It seems like prayer has taken a back burner in the church. I'm not sure everyone understands how powerful prayer is. I was blessed when I came to the Lord. Because when people were sharing with me, and we were rejecting it, just living our life, and going on, people were sharing, telling us we're not okay. We're blessed because at that time, our son got deathly sick, and it didn't look very good. And so I got on my knees before the Lord and prayed one night, all night, and God spoke to me, he's going to be okay. And I was not yet a Christian, but I said, I'll give my life to you. I'll serve you. And I remember that. And so I prayed, and guess what? The next day, things changed, and God healed him. So I know the power of prayer. I didn't even know I was praying. I was talking to God. And that's how we all start out. People think you have to be a professional prayer warrior in order to pray. If you know how to order a hamburger at McDonald's, you can pray. You can pray. It's just asking. You know, you buy it, you go through the drive-thru, what, can I help you? What do you want? You tell them that's prayer. John 16:33, if you'd like to turn there for a moment. So I know the power of prayer now because I experienced it in my life. And then from that point on, I experienced more power of prayer, God working miracles, and it's wonderful. But it's through prayer that things happen. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God said, your peace is going to be in me. Did you ever try to find peace in something else? It doesn't work. It's temporary. You can go out and do something or change where you live or try something and get into drugs or alcohol or something else. And it doesn't work very long, does it? There's no peace in your heart. Why? Because he says, in me you may have peace. And then what does he say? In this world you will have tribulation. We are not going to get rid of trials and tribulations in our life. We need to understand that. That's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to bring us victory through it and to achieve God's will. Because Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. We're not going to pray, don't ever let anything happen to me, Lord, and have it work. We'd never grow. We are not going to get rid of trials and tribulations. We live in a troubled world, in a fallen world, and it rains on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. That's what Jesus said. However, we believers have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and in Him, we, He tells us, can have peace because He's the Prince of Peace. He gives out peace. Isn't that wonderful? There's a place. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. John 14. What we need to do is focus on what we have, Jesus Christ, what we have in Him. One of the blessings we have in Christ is the privilege to pray to God the Father. Proper prayer brings peace. Maybe you've prayed and you don't have peace. Well, that's what we're going to study today. We should. It must be proper prayer, a proper attitude. A proper attitude and knowledge of God on prayer will change your life. Today, your life can be changed if you take heed. John writes, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. People go over these two verses very quickly, and they think, well, I've got a license to get anything I want in my life. That's not what it says as we go through each word here. Proper prayer is important. As I said, we've studied this Wednesday night. Ladies are studying it. There's a saying that if you hear something three times, it's going to sink in. Well, here's your third time. You see? And the message today, because he says, this is the confidence that he's speaking to Christians here, that we have in him, is that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears. This message today is for you and for me. It's not for the person that's not here. It's for you and for me. You know, a lot of times you'll leave after service and you'll say, boy, that message was for me today. And I'll say, no, it isn't, because it was for that person in front of you. No, you see, it's for everybody. For sure today, this message is for you. Every one of us in this room, this message. And everyone who hears it on CD or on the internet, message is for all of us. I'm the I in this message. I'm the we. See, John instructs the believer to have confidence and assurance in the fact that God hears our petitions. And that's the word used for prayer here. Asking. This is the confidence that we have in Him, in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. And then in verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Wow. First of all, we must have confidence in prayer. When you have confidence in something, you continue in it. We must understand the power of prayer. We should pray continually, not only in church or devotion time, but all day in our daily life. Just talk to God. Everything that comes up, God help me. Work this out. Give me wisdom. What's the answer here, Lord? It's talking to God and asking. He says, what we ask, anything according to His will, He hears us. It's simply asking God. That's what it's doing. It'll change your life if you do this. First of all, I have confidence that when you ask, He hears. Because a lot of people say, even Christians, well, I don't know that God heard me. That's blasphemous. He hears you. What you're really saying is, He didn't answer me. Well, the next verse says he does. There's nothing we can say. Accept it. Have confidence. Satan wants us to think God doesn't hear or doesn't care or doesn't love. That's Satan. That's feeling sorry for yourself. We should pray continually, talking to God, asking and aware that he's there, and he wants to be part of our every decision. Don't be a martyr and say, oh, you know, I talked to him too much. I don't want to bother God today. I'm such a good Christian. I don't want to bother God again. No, that's from hell again. God says, I love you, Jim. I love you, Barbara. I love you, Marianne. I love you, whoever you are in here. And I want you to talk to me continually. I want to run your life. Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. How much of you do you want to give to God? I hope you say all. Then he'll take care of all of you. You see? We should continually pray. Have devotion time. And talk to God. Be aware that he's there. Nothing is impossible with God. Sometimes I think we just blank out because we think that's not ever going to happen. How do we know that it's never going to happen? We're looking at our limitations in the past and think this will never happen. Have you ever had anything happen in your life that you thought would never happen? I have. Nothing is impossible with God. That's the only way it's going to happen. I would hate to go to heaven one day and realize that I missed out on a lot because I didn't pray. Wouldn't that be awful? God, I don't think God would allow that because he wouldn't want us to be miserable in heaven. But if he did, it would be awful to know that. You mean that could have really happened, but I gave up on praying for it? If God has laid a person on your heart to pray for them today, don't give up. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. When we pray, here's what happens when we pray. We take something, an issue, and we put it in God's hands. And God is all-powerful, and he's our Father, and he wants to take care of us, and he loves his children. When we're not praying, we're handling the issue ourselves, thinking I can do it, or realizing I can't and getting depressed. But soon as I pray, it's in God's hands. Before I pray, it's God, me plus zero equals solution. When I pray, it's me plus God equals solution. No solution otherwise. You know, we need to know that God's desire toward us is good. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus is talking here. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. What if I don't ask? I don't receive. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. You can go to a person's door today to visit them, but if you stand in front of that door and you don't knock, they're going to be enjoying the football game all afternoon and never know you're out there. And you're going to say, why didn't they show up for lunch? Why didn't they come in? Why? Because they didn't knock. If they did, you'd open the door. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Your dad is going to give you good things. What's best for you? But you have to pray. I feel sorry for people today, number one, that aren't Christians, that aren't walking with the Lord, or that are Christians and don't pray, just have a so-so walk with the Lord. You are missing out on life. I saw God heal children in my life, saw God work out impossible situations. There was no other way but God. And if I wasn't going to God in these things, they would have never happened. You're missing out on life if you don't pray and have a relationship with God. You and I are missing out on life. You're going to end up empty. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The word confidence is assurance. I have assurance, this total confidence that when I pray according to his will, he hears me. I don't doubt it at all. See, because doubts get into our head when time goes by and it doesn't seem things are being answered. Well, did he hear me? He did. You see, we need to know that. It helps us to know that. It brings us peace. You know, when you go to someone, you got a problem, you relate it to them, you have peace because at least you related it to them. You spoke about it. That's what's good about communication. If something's bothering you, go tell the other person. And then something can be done about it. But if you're quiet, if you're quiet with God, nothing's going to happen. We have to have this confidence that, no, when I talk to God, he hears me. I'm a Christian. And this message is to believers only. We're the ones that have this privilege. We're a child of God. We need to ask ourselves, do we have confidence or assurance in your salvation? How many people here have total confidence and assurance in their salvation? Now we can raise our hand. It's not embarrassing. Well, and you know, if you turn to 1 John 2:28, turn back to 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence, same thing, their confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's saying, have confidence in your faith that you will be saved, and when Jesus comes back, you'll go to be with him. Have confidence, have assurance that you have that. And I think we all said we have confidence in our salvation. We're not going to be judged. We're going to go to be with the Lord. And now he's saying, have that same confidence in your prayer. And if I were to ask, how many of you have confidence in your prayers? Probably some of you would not raise your hand like you did for salvation. Now, why not? It's the same word of God that tells us to have confidence in our salvation that says have confidence in your prayers. Same God. So we should just be as quick. Yes, God heard me, and he's going to answer. See, why is it important that we have this confidence? Why is he telling this? Because tribulation is going to come on this earth, and he doesn't want believers to doubt God, that God heard their prayer, or that they give up on prayer because nothing happened yet. We need to persevere. God has a good timing. And we need to let God work. But when you know that he heard and he's answered, that's when you can rest and not wrestle with God. Give up your wrestling with God today, just like Jacob had to. He wrestled with God. Put it down. This is the confidence, he says, we have in prayers, this assurance. So we must believe that God hears us, and we know he does. However, make sure we confess any sin in our life so that it doesn't separate us. We have to first check ourselves out. Is there a sin in my life? Is it hindering my prayer? Let's turn back to Psalm 66. We'll see what the Bible says. Psalm 66. Verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, what does that mean? If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I have any sin in my heart alive, the Lord will not hear. I have to have a proper attitude before God. That's why in 1 John, it's a great book, 1 John. He tells us in chapter 1, if you say that you don't sin, you're a liar. But if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confess it and stop it today. That's the answer. You can walk out of here with a smile on your face. Even if you walked in here with sin in your heart. If you repent and confess and say, praise the Lord, the communication line is open. Isaiah chapter 1. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 15. When you spread out your hands up to the Lord, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He says, you're deceitful. You're angry. You're hating people, which is murdering them. He says, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers and lift your hands up to me. We have to be clean in God's sight. And when we come to Christ, our sins are forgiven. And then when we do sin after that, we confess and we're cleansed of all unrighteousness. So we don't continue in any sin. Or we've broken that line. You see, we've got to keep in communication. Still our father, still his child. But fathers and children can have a horrible relationship with no communication if there's sin in the way. Doesn't change the relationship, but boy, it's a miserable way to live. Parents and children, you break that line. Still their parents, still your children, but whew, no, it's horrible when they're sinning away. Same with God. See, God has these rules. I love you. I want to bless you. Be holy as I am holy, he says. And we are through Christ. And as we sin, we confess, we repent. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. What it is choosing, people choose to stay in their sin. It's their own fault. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. See, in verse 1 it said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Boy, if you've ever gone to church and heard a message from God that would change your life, and maybe you thought it would and it didn't, I pray that this message today changes your life. Now, I'm very passionate about prayer because I said I've seen prayer work in my life. If there's any message that you take to heart that would cause you to leave here and change, let this be the message. That you listen to John here and have this confidence, first of all, in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And according to his will means that we would have to be in that place of no sin hindering our communication, you see. Because it's his will, we read in 1 John 1, that you confess your sin and get right. So take that first step and then have this confidence in prayer that God hears you. He does. And make sure there's nothing separating you. You know, in John 15, verse 7 and 8, let's turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me, Jesus said, if you live in me, I'm your life source, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit, but first of all, we have to be abiding in Christ. And you will ask what you desire, ask and what you desire, and it shall be done for you. This is our Father pleading. Please be right with me. Please pray and pray for my will, and I will answer your prayer. Prayer meetings are the least attended meetings in a church, no matter what church around the world. And yet it's the one tool that God has given us to bring about miracles and change. Do you see why Satan attacks prayer and says you don't have time for it? This is it. This is what moves mountains. This is what will bring change in your life, in your circumstances, give you wisdom. Prayer. But we must know that. We must have confidence in that, that that's what's going to do it. Not trying something else. But you notice in verse 14, it says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I shared this Wednesday. If I pray to fly, I'm not going to fly. That's not God's will for me, unless I'm Phil or Dee Dee Crow. Because crows fly. But you see, if I pray for something that would be to, you know, lift this 5,000-pound weight, that's probably not going to happen. Why? Because that would bring glory to me. You see? Things aren't going to happen that I want. They're going to be done according to his will, so God is glorified. That's the whole part of prayer. God wants us walking around the world saying, you want to know what God did for me? I prayed and he did this. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us walking around, boy, I'll tell you, this, I really worked hard and look where I am today. Yeah, where are you today? Where are you headed? For destruction without the Lord. Anything you ask according to this will. We ask according to his will and he hears us. It's not a license to ask for anything foolish. But as I'm walking in the Spirit, as I'm abiding in Christ, I'm in fellowship. That's why it's so important to be in Bible study. In prayer like we have Wednesday nights, Sunday, because that keeps us understanding what God's will is, and it encourages us, it lifts us up, and it gives us a chance to pray and have this attendance with God. And we start praying in a different way. The prayers aren't selfish anymore. Because the more you have of God, you know, it's like John the Baptist said, less of me and more of him. I need to be emptied, and I want to be full of God. That's the way it should be that. And when you are, when you're in the Word of God, when you're in Bible study, when you're in prayer, seeking to do his will, your prayers take on a spiritual, godly tone because everything you do wants to please God, not yourself. You're mature enough to know that. And so that's why it's important. They will be seeking God and not yourself. And it's, prayer is not a vehicle to get your will done on earth. It's a vehicle to get God's will done on earth. And that's best. Now, am I always going to understand why this is happening or that's happening or why it worked out this way? No. But God knows. He knows. Proper prayer, powerful, effective prayer, is to achieve God's will in my life and not mine. But sometimes my desires are his desires. Isn't that wonderful? Because as I'm walking with God, he blesses his people. As we read in the Bible, if you do this and you do that and you obey me, you will be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. Jesus prayed in the garden, the biggest event in the history of man, the crucifixion, atoning for our sin. And he prayed that, Lord, Father in heaven, if there's any other way to achieve salvation for mankind, let this cup, the going to the cross and this sorrow, pass from me. Now, if Jesus prayed that, do you think we ought to? People say, well, Jesus is God in the flesh. Why would he pray? Because that's the way God said to do it, the Father. And he prayed, nevertheless, your will be done. And there's a person that prayed for something, but God did it another way. So don't feel bad. God says, no, Jesus, this is the way it has to happen. You mean I'm going to have to go through the pain and the sorrow? Yes. So we pray, and it's not just saying, and you know, because we can just get, it can just become rote. We can pray a certain prayer and then say, and let your will be done, amen. I can mouth it, but not have it in my heart. And God knows. God knows if I'm really praying. He knows when I'm praying. He knows if it's in here and I really want his will. We have this, see, that's why John is saying, have this confidence that he hears and that he will answer. He's saying, have this confidence so that you don't get in the flesh and desire your own will. Have this confidence that even if it didn't work out the way you wanted, God did answer it, but in a way you didn't think. You see? We have to believe that so we don't doubt God or challenge God. We have to believe and have this confidence that, yes, he heard and he answered, and though I am suffering or this is continuing or this is working out this way, it is still God's answer to my prayer and it's the best way. We have to have that confidence. When you have confidence in something or in a person, you don't challenge it. You see the idea? We just, yep. Boy, I'm an ignorant human being with a finite mind. I just got to believe this is it. I think sometimes people think they're God. Well, if I were God, I would have. I'm glad you're not God. I'm glad I'm not God. Wow, if I were making the decisions, I would have blown it so many times. Thy will be done. You know, and when we get back to Ephesians 5, we're going to go understanding his will again. So that's why in our prayers, in our heart and mind, we must sincerely pray for his will to be done, to be confident that he's going to answer the best way. We must know God's will is best for me. Were you ever wrong when you thought you were right? Boy, I was. I've learned through experience, trust God with the answer. Even though I thought I was right. Because he knows best. See, in verse 14, John is talking about prayer here. The kind of prayer we call petitioning. That's what he says in verse 15. We have the petitions that we have asked of him. This is wonderful for us. And I mentioned earlier, this is a message for all of us because this is personal petitions. You know, people ask, is it okay to pray for myself? Yes. Jesus prayed in the garden. The thief on the cross said, save me, more or less. There's a lot of, Paul prayed personally. Yes, it is. God wants you to pray for yourself. You don't have to always pray for others. God wants you to pray for yourself. Actually, that's best because then you're in the position to pray for others once you're right with God. Otherwise, you're not. So this kind of prayer is, in John, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, we call it personal petition of the Christian. See, there are prayers of praise. We can praise God in our prayers. There are prayers of thanks. Oh, we can be thanking God in our prayers. There's intercessory prayer, where we're praying for other people or other things. We're interceding for our lost loved ones and for things to work out. So there's intercession for others, to heal someone. That's good too. But here, the good thing about this is personal petition. So Satan can't come and get you make you feel guilty that, hey, you're praying too much for yourself. No, you're not. God wants you to. This is because God wants to be blessed in your life and have you give him the glory. Personal petition. I'll tell you this. I need a lot of prayer. Every day, all day long. So when should I be praying? Every day, all day long. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Am I always moving my mouth or talking aloud? No. But in my, again, it's in the heart. I acknowledge God is in charge. What is your will? What should I decide? What should I do? It goes on all day long. Personal petition, bringing everything to God. So we pray often. You know, you don't have to raise your hands or speak in a certain way. It's just talking to God. Isn't it great that we don't even have to speak audibly and God hears us? That's wonderful. He knows our thoughts. He knew me before I was formed. Isn't that wonderful? God knows. How does that work? I don't know. I have no idea how that works. But God does. I know you need a lot of prayer every day. First, know this, that we have confidence and assurance in this life that if we ask God of anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, here's the thing that struck me as I was going over this Wednesday night. That word hears us, you know what it means? Give audience to. Wow. God says, I want to give audience to you. Would you please talk to me? Can you imagine the creator of the universe giving audience to me? He's on one side of the desk and I'm the other. You want to go in for counseling today? Get alone with God and picture him on the other side of that desk and table, and you're here, and he's letting you talk to him. Is that an incredible thing? It means give audience to. We have to picture God actually giving audience to us. He loves you that much. He says, I'm giving you time today, anytime you want, all day long. He hears us. He gives audience to. Wow. Now, how many people really believe this? I wonder that when you and I pray, when we ask, where he's actually giving audience to us. It's hard to get in and talk to some people, isn't it? You know, all the stuff you're going on today, don't you say, well, I wish I could sit down and talk with this person and get them straightened out? God says, you can talk to me anytime you want. I'll give you an audience. Wow. If you had one person that you could talk to in this life, who would it be? God. You know, we're in Christ. We have this opportunity. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He can. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, personal petition. God says, come before my throne of grace today. I will help you, but let it do it in a proper way. This is believers asking God according to his will. The most important part of prayer is his will. We have to humble ourselves to the point of get rid of our pride, our arrogance, our know-it-all, and just say, I know nothing. God knows it all. I just want your will done in my life. You're better off than a person that knows it all and knows the Bible backwards and forwards. James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Why doesn't the Lord hear at times? Because we're asking amiss. We're not asking according to his will. We want something just for ourselves. That's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is for God to help us and get his will done through us and give us the best life we can have. We need to ask ourselves, can I run my life and have it be the best it can be, or can God do it better? You might have to change your life drastically after reading this and say, you know what, from now on I'm letting God make all the decisions in my life. Good. I pray this is one message that hits us all, because we need prayer. And the only way things are going to work out, God says, I'll heal a nation if you pray. If you humble yourself and pray, I will heal your land. That's powerful. Why are we looking to other things? Why aren't we all just gathering and praying all the time? Watch God heal our nation. We think there's another way? You really think there's another way? God says, no, that's it. Humble yourself and pray. And I will hear. And I will heal your land. And verse 15, the second part of that. And if we know that he hears us, so okay, we're assured he hears us. Okay, that's not no problem. That whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Yeah, maybe God heard me, but it didn't isn't going to do it. Well, the next verse tells us we need to know that we have the petitions or the prayers that we have asked of him. We know he heard, and we have to know that we have. And don't feel that what you desire is not God's will. You know, Psalm 37, 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. When you're abiding in the Lord, a lot of his desires are put inside of us and he brings them to pass. You know, we're blessed. Remember, if we love the Lord, we want to please him. And that's the right place to be. And then he hears our prayers and answers them. But God will take care of our needs and not our greeds. He's not here to take care of our greeds. He's here to take care of our needs. Now, in verse 15, if we know that he hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him, we may not see the results of our prayers right away. People think, I prayed. Hey, it's already 2 days. Where's the answer? The Bible says he answered. Where is it? We'll get into that. You know, even if we're praying properly, we're seeking God's will to be done, and I believe we've all experienced this, we need to know, we have the, need to have the confidence that he answered us. You notice in verse 15, it says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Well, that's present tense. We know that we have. It's saying, what it's really saying is, if we know that he heard us, then we know that he answered. That's present tense. Future doesn't say, well, we have to wait for an answer. It says right here in verse 15 that whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked for. He answered right away because you did it properly. Well, I'm not seeing anything. It's not done. See, it's answered and marked on God's calendar when it will be given or consummated. You see, I can answer something today, but doesn't come to pass yet for a while. That's why he says, have the confidence that it's answered so that I don't think, well, God didn't hear me. And I got to go do something on my own because it's not working out. The hardest part is to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Perfect timing. Sometimes we don't even understand it all. But we might run into people in heaven who through that whole experience came to know the Lord and will say, oh, I see. See, we rest in the fact. Now, a child asks a dad, Dad, can I go to Disneyland? And the dad says, well, I'll take next Friday off and we'll go to Disneyland and we'll do it. Well, what happens? He marks the calendar for next Friday. The petition of the child was answered right away, but he's not going to do it till next Friday. That's the idea. But you see, the child, when he doesn't know if he's going to go to Disneyland or not, is going to act a lot different that next week than when he does know that he's going and God, Dad's got the tickets. You see what God's saying? It doesn't always happen right away. But he's saying, take comfort in the fact and confidence in the fact that it's answered. There's a time and a date set in stone in God's calendar that thing is answered. That's another thing I fear. What if I give up on God a day before the answer? And people turn their back on God and challenge God foolishly. That's why he's writing this, so that these new Christians won't get discouraged. No, he heard you. Isn't it funny? You can read the Bible written thousands of years ago, and it relates to the way we think today. God knows the human heart better than we do. So know God, that he heard and that he answered. God's timing is not our thing.
time. We just by faith believe it. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, a person may say, well, I'm God's child. God knows what I need, and he knows the desire of my heart. Then why ask? Then why ask? If God knows everything, and he's got a plan. Why? Because praying, asking, is the way that God provided to give to his people. He says, here's the way I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give to you. You ask, and I give. Simply because he said that's the way we do it. You see, what does it do, though? It keeps a believer in total dependence on God, is what it does. You know every good thing is going to come from him. So I ask, and then I see him give, and then what do? I glorify God. That's the way it works. Otherwise, we might get a little proud sometimes and say, look what I worked out. That's why we ask and we pray, so that we know it was God. And plus, he commands us to do that. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. We read that. It keeps us in total dependence on God. James 1, verse 17, please. James 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It all comes from him. We need to know that. And it keeps us in that will of God in the best place. That's why it's important for the Christian to be in the Word of God, so we can turn to these scriptures and know, oh, here's what God wants me to do. And we see these principles of asking and receiving. You know, Satan wants to keep you and I away from Bible study. He wants to keep us away from prayer meetings. You know, he wants us to depend upon ourselves and get discouraged. Pray and ask according with God's terms. Your will be done. Look what Jesus said, Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them. What? That men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He says, I want you to always pray and not lose heart, because you lose heart when you don't pray. You feel defeated. Remember, Paul prayed three times that God would remove this affliction? So there's a specific personal petition we're talking about today. Paul said, I have this thing that Satan gave me, and I prayed three times that God would take it away. It's okay to pray for healing. Take it away. That's great. But I'm sure he prayed for God's will to be done, because then it tells us, and God answered and said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And he found that in the affliction, he was more dependent on God, and he became more powerful in what God called him to do. Because what's better, to have one affliction removed or to learn a lesson that will take you through life through many afflictions? You see? God always does one better. Because he knows. Because if we have affliction today and he delivers us from it, I might go to him next week for the same thing. Deliver me from this. Deliver me from this. And then he becomes Santa Claus. Whereas God says, no, I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you the power and the strength to go through an affliction so that because Paul, you're going to really go through a hard time. So that whatever you go through, you're going to be able to make it. You see the better answer? His will. He answered, but in a different way. You know, and quickly, because we said we would go through this verse also, let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Paul writes this. Verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Personal petition. And the peace of God, if you do this, if I do this, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. But I do it properly in His will. So I can't be, you know, don't be anxious tonight. Don't be anxious today. Don't be anxious this week or worried. Apply what we're reading today in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and you'll have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Why with thanksgiving? Well, when do you thank someone? When do you thank someone? When they give you something, you got the right answer. When someone does something for you. So what is God saying? When you pray, I'm going to do something for you, so thank me right away. You don't even have to wait till it comes about in 3 months, because I'm answering it right away, just on the calendar for 3 months out. That's why it says right here, pray with thanksgiving, because I'm going to do it right away. And when you start thanking God, it encourages you, realizing, wow, he's done it. You only thank someone when you know He's done it. That's why we're instructed to pray with thanksgiving. So we need to have our hearts and minds guarded and pray properly. You know, let us all leave here today receiving and applying these verses to our life. This is why the enemy doesn't want people praying, because that's where our power is. That's where things are done for the Christian. It's the only way, because God's the one that does it. It says every good and perfect gift comes from God. Therefore, we need to come before God, put it in His hands, and watch Him work, and thank Him in the process. Join us on Wednesday night for a time of worship, study, and a little prayer meeting after. Take advantage of you and others praying for you. I mean, this is going to the doctors for free. That's what we do. We don't have time. There's not enough in our life where we don't have time to pray. If that's the only thing you would do with your life every day, that would be a good thing. But do you believe it? Some of you might, some of you might not, and go continue on the same. That's what God allows. If you want a good life, here it is. It's got to be prayer. You got to be a woman, a man of prayer. If you don't, want to handle some things alone, go ahead. But then you're running your own life. We need to pray. You know, we need to pray over this church, over the finances, over the people sick, over our country, over the people that have been displaced by all these floods and everything. There is so much to pray for, even outside of ourselves. But we start with ourselves, and we need to be right with God. We need to be strong in prayer. We can change this nation through our gathering together and pray. We can change it. It's not hopeless. Isn't that wonderful? You know, now, once we pray, we can start to wonder, well, then why are these things happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why is God allowing this? And God gave me 5 words this week. Because, you know, when you put a message like this together, and it's so personal to me, Satan's going to be right there. Just like he's right there with you right now, saying, ah, that's okay for them, but not for me. No, it's for you. Give me 5 words to get me through any of that doubt when those things come up. And those words were, no, it's all for a reason. Jim, whatever's happening, whatever it looks like, no, it's all for a reason, period. And just go with it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your powerful message today. We pray, Lord, today that our lives would change, that our prayer life would change. We pray these words gave us assurance, confidence, boldness in our prayer life. It's the most precious time we can have in our day. It puts our life in your hands. And you know the plan. And your thoughts toward us are good. And you love us. I would encourage you today, just go before the Lord. Pray for His will to be done in your life. Bring your personal petitions before Him. Watch Him work. Don't get caught on the timing or on circumstances. Trust God. It's all for a reason. Everything, it's all for a reason. Watch God work. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then give Him the glory. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.